Here is 1972. A few months ago, I received a collection of 35mm slides from a 1972 family trip. As I go through the 11 carousels of color images taken by my father, I see myself but don't remember. I wonder if our memories are meeting in these documented moments, or if these images will erase my memories of that trip. In 1972, my father, bless you, won a science grant, and we went to live in Bratislava, Czechoslovakia for 7 months, and Yash, Romania for 1 month, cutting across Western Europe before and after. The East was gray, the West was colorful. It was while on this trip that I first encountered layers of history, both felt and told, to be read everywhere, and these encounters helped to form my cultural and creative sensibilities. I revisit this trip in order to encounter the 1970s younger version of a family of five, to find us. As the story of this trip opens, I am humming to me and Mrs. Jones in the back seat of the 1972 two-door aqua Volvo sedan. I am on the verge of adulthood then, and I experience a similar growth period now, just when I enter premenopause. I did not quite have my period then, and I do not quite have it now. The concerns of my adolescence have returned. I'm tethered to places in my past where I grew up fast. The time in between then and now is bracketed by the helpfulness of both construction and deconstruction on the road to self. Writer Ruth Kagalchin describes baby bears born like dough, and their mothers lick them into shape. I recently dreamt thick blood was running from my body. I was licked right back out of shape. We're leaving to go on a long journey. At the Portland International Airport, my flower-powered pinkish canvas suitcases are opened and checked before boarding. Friends come to say goodbye. We land in Sweden and sleep above the sound of traffic. We wake up and pick up a car with a sticker, See Europe by Volvo, and we see a great deal of Europe on the way to an Eastern Bloc country. Unable to fully remember my car, I think of writer Maggie Nelson's recitation of blue and the term asynoblepsia, a non-perception of blue. It was a light turquoise blue, not too in-depth like navy blue. It was a pale blue brick with a squared-off body. An online search reveals that our 1972 Volvo was probably an automatic with a fuel-injected engine. It had a dark blue vinyl dashboard, fabric seats, rubber door strips, and orange semaphores on either side. A backpack is floating fast down a river, which may not be a backpack at all. No one else in the car says anything as a small group of people outside of the car runs fast along a high bank to follow bobbing orange, not as fast as the water below. We keep going, and I don't know if anyone else has seen this. We are a small country, excited, alone together. The car may seem like it contains one cohesive culture, but we observe and process in five different ways, traveling across a new continent, while listening to pop songs from various charts, coming together over heaven, weather, new beds, and hunger. We pay a few crowns outside public restrooms for a few triangles of toilet paper. We walk hours through Paris, and then, after resting on church steps, we wander off in different directions, slowly moving back together to get lunch. This is a car full of a family that has just had an argument during a very long road trip. There is a space between us in this draining well of our collective experience and the mandatory dispersal of our individual understandings of this experience. At some point, we are lost, and a man helps us find our way out of a strange town by getting into our car and sitting on our laps. He asks us to leave him on the outskirts of town, and we do. Are we singing? Are we there yet? Popular songs hold us in place as we hurtle through Europe, pulling our geographic. It's raining when we enter Rome, and Paul Simon's song, Kodachrome, is on the radio. This song recalls a brand of color film that made all the world a sunny day. I see rain and streets and white architecture from inside of Simon's rainbow, tripping. My Czechoslovakia, with its history and language, is not real or fixed, and I have no claim on it, but I remain connected to the time. 4 years after the Soviet Union took control of the country, and 3 years after Czech student Jan Palach lit himself on fire as a political protest against the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia by Warsaw Pact armies. His body flamed. We reach Bratislava, Czechoslovakia in early autumn and leave again at the end of spring. Our new landlord had been a member of the Reformed Communist Party, now demoted to a non-person status by the current government. He seems tired. He is kind. His daughter is between me and my older sister in age, and we become friends. His wife works and a son stays in his room. There's a black and tan terrier. There are new prefabricated apartment buildings all around. Writer W.C.C. Zabot speaks about the photograph as forming a nucleus around which a large empty space for a story. The text of his novel Austerlitz is scattered with grainy black and white photographs without captions, making them seem suspended between the recent and distant past. He uses black and white photographs because color photography, as he says, is a mark of the common. My inherited color slides record pushes into the nearly present, alive, almost like being there. A photograph can be considered a fabric, a fragment, narrow, but it shows Glad's lift. When you view it, your body is in one place and your eyes in another. You're transported to the unreal world, which you don't know about, but just have a feeling about. I remember living this time, but I do not specifically recall many of the moments depicted. I have not seen most of the slide collection till now, and I would have viewed them differently as a child. Now when I look at them, I understand history. I see that time as an era in which I had a part. Do I want to reconstruct my biography through this photographic material? To look at imagery across time is to see the aging family body as it sails down highways, disappearing. Writer Franz Kafka has a transparency that is apparent in photographs that began to be in evidence in photos from his childhood, and this transparency increased as he grew older. I rush to make this story conscious as it disappears and takes me with it. For his documentary film, as I was moving ahead, occasionally I saw brief glimpses of beauty. Filmmaker Jonas Mekas compiled home movies, stringing them together by chance, the way he found them on the shelf. I lean towards the Mekas construction of order. I keep my father's selection of images intact, while organizing another selection from inside of that. Photographs lead a nomadic existence till someone rescues them. They travel and are geographically unstable. My father's document of 10 months in 1972, a personal canon of cataloged and annotated color slides with folded notes and carousel markers that read, "My house and its surroundings," and "Sugar esters, travel till we meet." Transitory landmarks of film and dust trembling on screen when projected. We believe in the ultimate truth of images and then they become our memory. And these memories, if that is what we're calling things, fine and imprinted, add up to my favorite year, compressed into the space of a car and some tan Kodak boxes. A few months ago, I met my older sister at our parents' house to go through old things. I work in the garage, and when I come back into the house, a group of tall sunflowers has become compost. Also cleared out are birdseed, spices, not even salt, garbage, recycling, the newspaper is canceled and the telephone disconnected. The cat is gone. The next time I return, the beds and appliances are gone, and all that are left are dismantled bird feeders and Subway sandwiches. In 2010, I moved into the house I now share with my husband. Inside the house, I have a feeling I am inside of a capsule and I could be anywhere. It is the opposite with Bolshevik-era Slovak housing. Each living unit looks the same, stacked inside blank concrete panel buildings, but each unit is made different, a home, according to the individual occupant's sensibilities, a multiverse inside of a prefabricated universe. Almost 1 year ago, I got married, and my mother was too ill to come. I returned to my house to find a blue post-it note in the room where she stayed, with just my name on it, but I didn't write it. I'm in someone else's mind, with no context for this note. There's just my name, floating. I navigate through fragments, scrolling in horizontal, like Ulysses and Odysseus. Photography can bear witness to the ways of life and events of the world, but the photographic record of our family trip through Western Europe and to a Bolshevik country are focused inward. Though they take in architecture, including well-known landmarks, they show nothing new. At a viewpoint above Bratislava, my mother and I are blurry. The viewed object would be the thing in focus if we could see it. I recognize myself by my fuzzy posture, leaning into her, laughing. I've kept this year in a narrow interior compartment in my mind and body where I remember I ate bread with bugs baked into it, picking out those parts. I came to a new place in an unusual car. Burning brown coal was everywhere, smelling like heroism and profanity. I was homeschooled. Here I metabolized to reclaim something and to live it for real. I have no space for anecdote. Nabokov claims he erased his memory with his stories. Retracing this part of my life with the odd mapping device of a collection of color slides is like navigating by lost landmarks. The moment of finding the past neutralizes it. Moments stay for a sentence or a page before ruining themselves. Traveling through a strange town once, a man climbed into our car. He must have sat on our laps and showed us to the outskirts of town, where we would continue our journey, and we left him there at his request. In 1995, I received a grant to study art in Prague. I remember walking back to my rent-controlled apartment in the little quarter over the Charles Bridge, where large bodies loomed to either side, oversized and made of stone. I had cramps. I was hungry. If I cannot remember popular songs from 1972, they're not lost to me, because they're published knowledge and easy to find. Heart of Gold, Play Me, The World is Black, The World is White, Burning Love, Me and Mrs. Jones, If Loving You is Wrong, Speak to the Sky, The Candyman, Crimson and Clover. I've got pieces of April, It's a Morning in May, Maggie May, I Lean on Me, Kentucky Rain, Yellow Ribbon, Akko Samash, Ahoy, On the Cover of the Rolling Stone, War, Oh, It's So Nice to Be With You, The Robert E. Lee, Theme from Tommy, Ode to Joy, Mommy Blue, You're So Vain, Eau Claire, Zuskan Aspon Govan Notes, Crocodile Rock, Sole Sole, I Can't Live It's Living Without You. I love you too much to ever start liking you. My ding-a-ling, until you use me up, the first time ever I saw your face. Jesus is just all right with me. Lay, lady, lay. Alone again, naturally. Horse with no name. Kodachrome. It gives me the nice bright colors. It gives me the green of summer. Makes me think all the world's a sunny day. I've got a Nikon camera. I love to take it for a ride. Mama, don't take my Kodachrome away. Writer Charlotte Cotton talks about the capacity of photoconceptualism to dislodge the surface of everyday life through simple acts. The inscribing of cultural and political meaning into the human body. The chance that a banal disruption in depictions of daily life also become a kind of disruption for the viewer, causing them to stop for a moment, to contemplate. This cache of color slides from my father does not answer to the contemporary art photography description by Cotton of remaining out of the hub of action. To the contemporary photography description by Cotton of remaining out of the hub of action and arriving after the decisive moment. The Prague Spring, the Munich Olympic Game hostage situation, the Richard Nixon landslide election. Representing what has been left behind in the wake of world events, or creating an understanding of being to the side of or passing by, even as an event is just that moment unfolding. Like Watergate or Angela Davis being released from prison. But there's no qualifying perspective or large format equipment signaling a slowing down of image, as she says. There are just us, mostly, next to any number of ruins, roadside shrines, cathedrals, goat carts, vistas, and monuments. There is only the depiction of a family together with small focus imagery and a non-art 35mm camera and its slide output. But at the very least, there is also the depiction of a new kind of everyday for my family inside of the revolution of my father's slide carousels. My father frames my mother's image tightly on the shores of a lake, yet you can still understand the magnitude of the mountains circling the late May foliage, the light, the lake deck, her shoes, bag, polyester slacks, and hair, all crimson on the edge of the lake. On my way to western Wyoming, traveling through Oregon high desert, my mind is elsewhere on the Oregon coast. I cross over a Wyoming pass, I turn on Heck of a Hill Road, take it all the way up and back, as I am instructed. I reach a split in the road and take a hard left at the red ski nailed to a tree, following the road to a green barn with red roof and two gray buildings with gray roofs. I find these landmarks a momentary stopping point. Gretchen of 1972 is flotsam and jetsam now. I return to process that trip and I find her outline, but she's floating either above or below me. Once a man showed us the way through a strange city. I don't remember how we found him. We must have pulled over and asked him for directions. He got into our car. We left him on the edge of town, and everywhere was aqua blue.